Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, Steve isn't here, but he ought to be. It's his birthday.
It is.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Yes, happy birthday wherever you are.
That's right.
You know, celebrating, hopefully.
It just came to mind, I don't know why, but if you want to give a birthday present to Steve, make a donation to New Life. What would be a better gift?
What a surprise, Steve, that you would think that, Larry.
If Steve saw a great big deposit today, we'd say everybody wanted to say thank you, Steve. Happy birthday.
All I know is that he didn't choose us on his birthday.
Thanks, we are without him.
That's right. But have a happy birthday anyhow, Steve.
Yeah. Yep. Father's Day is Sunday, and Steve, Mylon, you did a Club New Life video titled Striving to Become a Secure Father, and that will be added to our video library. Can you share just a little bit about that?
You know,
do you remember anything about it?
You know, Larry, I was just going to say I have no idea what I... This is what happens when Larry laughs. It sounds like a leaky balloon, but... And Larry may have to walk out of the studio right now.
I think I can
cover for this answer. But it's
secure father that can say I don't
there
know.
There you go.
That's right.
Right? I don't know.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks for covering for me right now. You know, I really don't remember what I said, but here it is precisely. So I'll be interested in hearing it. But here's the deal. Self-awareness and emotional intelligence are the number one thing a person should work on to become a secure leader, to become a stronger leader. Our God is an emotionally intelligent God. He's cognitively intelligent. He's scientifically intelligent. He's also emotionally intelligent. He has every emotion from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. Jesus displayed every emotion as well. And when you read about him, not only in his human life, but also when you read about him in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, you're going to see a very real Jesus with very real emotions. And you'll see, and he explains how and why those emotions are there. The father that is self-aware, understands what he is feeling and why, can explain that to his family, mm-hmm. and then be able to invite that reciprocally from family members. And not just judge behavior, but stop and ask, now, what were you feeling right before you took that off my desk? Mm. And something I need, but you took it. Mm-hmm. What were you feeling right before you took it? And to explore the fact that, I haven't paid any attention to you for 3 days because I've been working and you were really trying to get my attention. That's an emotionally intelligent question, as opposed to just dealing with the behavior. So a secure father, it's a wonderful thing, but we don't have to stay where we were shaped and left with what we were left with from our families of origin. It's not a life sentence. That's our starting spot, mm-hmm. and we can grow and turn into something different. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Those are good. If you want to join Club New Life in order to see that Club New Life video, we have a thank you gift that includes a New Life grocery tote, 100 Days of Peace, that's a devotional, New Life Journal, the Restoration Bible, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, and Growth Has No Boundaries. Those last two are little books excerpted from other books. And if you're an existing Club New Life member, if you add $10 to your monthly gift, we'll send you that kit. Club New Life, you make a gift of $30 or more each month, and you get some benefits. We get the benefit of your giving, and we can count on a certain amount of support each month. And we are just very, very grateful for the Club New Life members and for what that does for New Life. So call us, join Club New Life. We'll be back right after this and take your call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. You know, I was talking about Club New Life. I also want to say that if you make a gift of any kind, you will send you the Soul of a Hero book. It's after Father's Day when you'll get it, but it's still a great gift for dads. Okay, let's go and speak with Nancy. Nancy is in Orlando, Florida, listens on WTLN. Hello, Nancy. How can we help you?
Oh, hi there, Larry, Mylan, and Jill. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Love you. You guys helped me with my grown son. I don't know if you remember. We were trying to figure out why he was mad at me, and we figured it out. I think Sherry was on that day. And it was because he tried to, my nephew had died, and he was trying to get us all this information about from social services to help financially and everything, like a dozen texts he sent, and we kind of dismissed it, and he felt dismissed himself. So that's what it was.
So why are you calling today, Nancy? How can we help you?
Okay. Should someone forgive a person who hurt them, though they didn't ask for forgiveness? Because in Luke 17:3, it says, if your brother and sister sin against you, if they repent, then forgive. But then in Matthew 6:14-15, it says, forgive, or else your heavenly Father will not forgive you. It doesn't say the word if, but in Luke 17, it says, if they repent.
Reverend Yurkovich, how would you approach that subject?
Nancy, tell us about what this person did.
Okay.
And just give me one sentence to tell us what this person did.
Okay. Okay. My sister, her niece said, come and look at the pictures on the computer. Because I want to get my dad a girlfriend, and she called up my sister's husband to look, and my sister got real mad, and that was 20 years ago, and she said, I'll never forgive her until she admits what she did. She said she's not going to get away with this one, but she's always mad. She always flies off the handle, and if she's mad at you, she'll send you 25 texts with the most horrible words in her, you can't even believe, of wishing death and everything.
And this is your sister?
Wow. Yeah, she's my baby sister, yeah. I've been going round and round with her for like 40 years.
Okay, so
I love her.
Okay, so Nancy, thank you. That really helps us here, because needing to know that context is critical to answering your question. And and I understand that you're also afraid of what the Lord might think in this, that you're worried that you will disappoint the Lord or that you will be violating His commands. And I love your sensitivity to wanting to pay attention to what God says. So what forgiveness is releasing yourself from the emotional bondage that comes along with having to prosecute that case every day in your head. And it actually imprisons you. Now, what I tell people is there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. Forgiving somebody is saying, you know, my sister is very volatile and she has been destructive to me and our family for 40 years. And so I will stay clear of her, and I will also be aware that she's going to do stuff over and over again in my lifetime. Lord, help me to somehow tolerate it. Help me to somehow have wisdom. Help me to somehow be able to manage this, but excuse me, she's probably never going to change, Nancy. And but you can't be trusted. And Jill, what would you add to that?
Right, we only trust people to the degree that they are trustworthy, and
yes.
when they prove themselves over and over again mm-hmm. in a pattern.
Right.
We don't.
But what about medication? I think she needs medication.
She might
that intermittent explosive.
Okay, and she.
I don't know.
She may need that, right? And
I told her that, and she's real mad at me now because I.
Because you told her the truth.
I told her not to be ashamed. I said I take medication too, and I'm upset with God.
Sister, you ask for help or you come to me, yet you don't want to hear what I have to say, and it feels like nothing I say gets through to you. Are you just wanting me to hear you? Are you just wanting me to agree with you? Because our relationship mm-hmm. can't go further if we can't have a back and forth,
mm-hmm.
right?
But as it relates to forgiveness, Nancy, as it relates to forgiveness, you should hear what Mylon said. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for your sister. It's for you to be released.
I don't know very many people that come up and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Right.
And if we were dependent on that, then we would be tied to them.
I think of a video we used to play at our workshop about forgiveness. It was a CBS News story. It was about a lady whose son was killed at a party. He was shot and killed.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this?
That was beyond. That is forgiveness on steroids, where she then accepted the murderer in and treats him like a son.
He lived right next door. The two doors to their apartments were right mm-hmm. next door.
It's a miracle story.
But the words that she said were, forgiveness is for me. The bitterness would eat me up and just...
Right. What you're seeing in your sister, she doesn't forgive. Right. And so she has a lot of anger, right? She holds people responsible for 20 years. Can I just say one more thing, too, about forgiveness? There's a huge distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation. Reconciliation is the process by which you restore a relationship because the other person is repentant and remorseful.
There you go.
Okay? Forgiveness is your part. It's to release them, as Mylon was saying. You release them, you take them off your hook, you put them on God's hook. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to deal with this. But there is no true reconciliation until they own their part.
And guess what? It's my birthday today. Can I have one more quick question?
Same as Steve. Happy birthday.
thank you. My other sister, we get along real good, but she wanted me to ask you, is it the man's place to do the asking, like ask you out, or she said ask if she might was thinking of asking this one person.
I think your sister needs to call
him for lunch, but yeah, she wanted to know if it's the man's place to do the asking.
Nancy, let me go back for a second. The other thing that you have to ask yourself is, how long will I tolerate an abusive sister? how long will I allow her?
I'm done.
Okay, and but you see, that's a big issue there,
yeah.
you know, because this is where boundaries kick in.
Right.
If people treat me like that, and I've had people treat me like that, I don't have a relationship with them anymore. And so I keep myself from being abused.
I finally realized that.
Yes, good. I'm glad. And I think let's call today Sadie Hawkins Day, and she can, you know, go ahead and ask him out for having lunch. There's nothing to be said that a person can't have a friendly gesture of inviting somebody out to
and
lunch.
And some guys need the flag in front of their face to know that someone's interested.
Yeah, some guys are a bit on the dull side.
I was just going to ask, are you saying men just don't get it sometimes?
Men sometimes don't get it. At the same time, it is nice when the men do the asking. But I think sometimes women need to be big hint droppers.
Ask them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got to lose? There's no proper...
That's true.
And
younger generations, they do that.
Yeah.
Nancy, thank you for your call. We're going to send you Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. I think that might be a help to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dr. Dave Stoop's book, and I always like to say, he wrote the book on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, other than what Scripture says.
You know, his every time I heard his lecture that he would give on forgiveness was absolutely, I looked forward to it every time. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? We're going to go and talk to Donnie in Mobile, Alabama. Listens on WBHY. Hello, Donnie.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How can we help you today?
I guess I'll start from the beginning. My wife of 17 years, or coming up on 17 years, we've been together for 25. We got two kids together. She left January the 9th of this year, said that she needed some time and some space. Wasn't sure that she wanted a divorce or not, but she has since sent me divorce papers. And I understand. I mean, for the first, you know, I was never a drinker. I never drank at all. We were married for 2 to 3 years. Well, I would drink casually with friends, to where it got to where it was, you know, every couple of days to every day. And then I lost my father in 2012, which was really my best friend. And that even put me in a more of a depression type state. And I turned to drinking. And she would come to me and tell me that, you know, you need to stop. And I looked at it as she was nagging at me, versus looking out for me. But at the state that I was in, I didn't seem like I had a problem. So it went on and on and on. And I would quit, you know, I promised her I'd quit for,
so Donnie, can I just ask you, so you didn't think you had a problem, but it sounds like your wife thought it was leading that way, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right. I didn't think that I had a problem to start with. Well, here in the last couple of years, I knew I had a problem. I was depressed. I didn't care whether I woke up the next morning. I kind of wished that I would die. You know, but, and I didn't know who to talk to. I didn't feel like I could talk to her. I didn't feel like I could talk to my mother. I didn't know who to talk to. Didn't know, I knew I needed help. I just didn't know from who. And when she walked out the door, I found out who to get that help from, and that was God. And I was reborn again. And I've done everything in my power that I feel like, you know, that I can do. I quit drinking the day she walked out and hadn't had a drink since. Done everything that I can, as far as financially, because I got to where I was laying out of work and stuff like that. I started a new business, and it's going really well. So I feel like I'm doing everything in my power to do it, and she just keeps telling me that she's tried for all these years, and now I want to try, and she feels like that she's done. That's basically what she keeps telling me, she's done. So I guess my question is, what do I do? How can I get her back?
Good question.
Yeah. Well, Donnie, it's a hard thing because usually when women finally take that big step, right, it's like it takes that to wake you up. But unfortunately, a lot of times they are done. So the one thing, though, about women is that sometimes our words, we say strong words, but we can change our minds. So, but we have to see behavior. You can't just tell her, oh, I'm a changed person. Like, she's done with that. She has to see, right? If there's any hope, she has to see you being a different person. And right now, she doesn't trust you. Why should she? She tried to help you. She saw where this was going, and you didn't listen. And so she's going to need to see you being different for a while, to see it consistent over time before she might be willing to trust it again.
And I get that, and I told her, I mean, I would give her all the time. I said, this is a permanent change. You know, whether she believes it or not, I said, just give me the opportunity and the time to show you, you know, and don't go through with the, you know, the divorce right now.
Well, Donnie.
And that's all I've asked for, is basically time.
Donna, you hear the music. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back and help you a little more, okay? Milo will speak a little bit into this as well. So just hold the line. We'll be back and take other calls after yours.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Donnie. His wife has left, and he would like to restore that relationship. He's taken steps, but maybe he needs to do some more. Mylon, what are you thinking?
Well, Donnie, I appreciate your sincerity, but we've all learned in lifetime that words are cheap in the sense that promises given without proof of action, like Jill mm-hmm. was saying, is something that, you know, just will not turn a person's mind, especially if they've been hurt and they have tried and tried and tried and tried. What I think you would want to do is three things. Number one, I would get into a 12-step group, and I would work that group very, very hard. And each one of those steps that you take, including number four, which is to begin to reconcile with people with a purposeful reconciliation, will be very important. Your wife needs to see that you're in process, that you're mm-hmm. not just making a statement, but that you're in process of working on yourself. Number two, I would also go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, just the generalized meetings. And then number three, I would invest myself in being one of the best fathers you could possibly be to your kids. And if you have grandkids by now, that you would invest into them. I would really pour myself into the activities of your family members and allow your behaviors to be the thing that convinces your wife there's something different about you.
Mm-hmm.
And she may not come back, but you need to do this for you, regardless of whether you get her back, Donnie.
And because you have kids, and I don't know how old your kids are, but you will forever be tied together.
Right.
Right? And so in the co-parenting mm-hmm. or parenting issues, it's really important to honor your wife, right? To follow through on what you say you're going to do
mm-hmm.
so that she, because that's a place where she can start to see the changes. And you have to remember, too, she really cared about you and was trying to help you.
Right.
So there's some hurt there that you wouldn't take her advice. You wouldn't listen to her until it was too late. And so that feels like a betrayal to women who are really giving their all. And so that's part of her hopelessness. And so that's where I think there can be some apologies. You were right. I didn't want to listen. And letting her know how much you see now.
Yeah, and that's what I told her when I do have conversations with her, you know. And it's not an angry, when we have conversations, it's nice, polite. We talk to each other every day because we got the two kids together and they both play baseball and stuff, so we're always at practices and games. And so, I went to her and I said, I didn't see it before, but now that I've been sober and sitting alone, then I've had the time to think, and I can see how bad I've hurt you and how bad I hurt the boys and how bad I pushed, you know, mm-hmm. them and all my family away, you know, especially when I lost my dad. I basically shut everybody out. I said, I see that now. I didn't see it then. I said, I see it now, and I'm going to do everything in my power to make that better. I'm seeing a counselor now. It's actually
good.
New Life Counseling, Richard Atwell in Mobile, Alabama. I'm seeing a counselor, you know, with him. I've asked her to go. I asked her if she wants to pick the counselor to go sit down and talk with. I'm up and game for anything and everything other than giving up.
Well, Donnie, I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is she now knows what you want and what you're doing. And so I would stop trying to convince her every week And I would just now let your feet do all the talking.
Right. And to help you with what Mylon was recommending about a 12-step program and Alcoholics Anonymous and such, I want to send you a Life Recovery Bible and workbook. And I think those two will help you do the things that Mylon was suggesting. So thank you for calling, Donnie. We've got to go to another caller, but first, the Restore Workshop starts a week from today. This is the workshop for women whose hearts have been broken. They've got a betrayal. And it's an amazing workshop. And ladies, we need you. Those of you that are hurting, I want you to hear what this lady wrote when she went to it. This is our first workshop back live after this pandemic. And we're very excited about that. There'll be a good group of women there. Before coming to this workshop, I felt stuck, depressed, and angry. I was feeling like I don't have a life or a voice, or not sure what to do with it or how to use it. I was considering taking drugs or something to take away the pain. This weekend has been very emotional. I was sad at first and angry that I even needed to be here, but that all changed after the first day. I started feeling hopeful, realizing my life doesn't have to stay that way. Then I got excited about that, and that was really just awesome. I'm leaving the workshop with my heart full. Everything has changed. I feel closer to God. I know He will see me through this. What can be better than that, folks? Ladies, if you've been hurting and you've been afraid to pick up the phone and call, you don't know who to talk to, call us. Call 800-NEW-LIFE. And folks, if you want to support a ministry that makes a difference, hear these testimonies that we read almost daily and realize that life can be better, and we are helping that happen. God is blessing what we do, and the Holy Spirit's doing a work in people's lives. So thank you for listening to New Life. We're going to come back right after this break and take another call. And we are just grateful for you and for your support and your listening to our program. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Just real quickly, we're doing, like we already announced, Restore Workshop in person, June 25th to 7th. That starts a week from today in Dallas. We're doing Every Man's Battle in person, July 9th to 11th in Dallas. We're doing Intimacy and Marriage in person, July 23rd to 25th in Washington, D.C. And then in August 14th, we're doing the Emotional Freedom. That's going to be online on Zoom. So I hope you will join us for those. And then Life Recovery Today that Steve does, has been doing daily, it's going to be, no, that's not, that's something else. Life Recovery Today is every Thursday at 11 o'clock Eastern Time on the NRB Network. So, anyway, that's the plug for that. Let's go talk to Mandy. Mandy's listening in Sacramento, California on KFIA. Hello, Mandy. How are you today? How can we help you?
Hi there. I'm well. The bottom line is I was married for over 30 years, and I've been divorced 11. The breaking point, my husband... We got married when we were young. His parents signed for him. I wasn't pregnant. They just did it. And I got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord through his family because they were Christians. But after the first year, he started drinking, and he's got addiction problems through the years. I was with him for a couple years, and then I realized it wasn't working for me, so I tried to do the straight and narrow with God. So the bottom line is we got divorced because, and he's never cheated on me, so he's a faithful husband in that way, but he's always been distant and emotionally. He loves his family, but we had our granddaughter staying with us, and she had appendicitis, and she had liquid medicine, and he went in and drank it, and I just, you know, you're right. When a woman says, that's it. So I left. I could have done it different, you know, looking back, but I just left. I walked out. I went to my other kid's house, and they had a guest house. I stayed there. Bottom line is he tricked their granddaughter into giving him a key, said he wanted to visit the dog, and he got a key made at the guest house. And then he came over one night when he was high and loaded and said he was going to rape me and kill us both. Mm-hmm. And pulled out some clothesline, said, if he has to tie me up, he will. So he had this whole thing in his head. And thank God, I just felt the peace of the Lord. I'm cutting it short. And so I stopped being angry at him busting in the door. And I was just calm. And he calmed down, and he ended up leaving. And my kids had called the police, and he was arrested and went to jail. But the thing is my question is, am I supposed to... I can't be married to him. Even if, I mean, he still uses, but he doesn't use heavy, but he's the same person. And he doesn't realize his full potential. He has a calling in God, and I can't make him, and I can't be responsible for him. And that's what I feel like. If I'd done something different or, you know, and I know that that's wrong because I can't change a person. I can only, you know, be me. But even if...
Okay.
So, man...
Go ahead.
Yes.
Even if what?
My question. Even if we were to get back together, it's a deal breaker because I could never trust him not to flip out on that side. And that's my boundary, and that's what keeps me from even trying.
Well,
because he's not doing anything different, and I don't trust him.
Right. So good, Mandy. Good. Because what I'm hearing you say is that his drinking and using does not work for you. Right? And drinking and using chronically can lead to behaviors that are extreme, like you have seen. So we know that he becomes violent without these substances. We don't know who he is because he's been doing this for so long. So just cutting back, that isn't doing anything. And so he has to decide how important is his family. Is his marriage, right? He's got to do something more radical than just saying, okay, I'll cut back and I'm sorry. Because you're right, you cannot trust him. And it's not that when he says it, he doesn't mean it. It's just that with drugs and alcohol, the person is so erratic. And people can cut back for a while, but they eventually, you know, it ramps back up because that's where they go with it.
Is it my responsibility to give him an option, some conditions, and tell him that I'm willing to work on it? Because I don't want to work on it. I feel like I should, but I don't really want to. I don't feel good about it.
Mandy, how long have you been taking care of people? How long have you felt like a caretaker? How long did you, when you look back in your life, what are some of the earliest?
That's one of my professions.
It's one of your what?
Your professional.
I was in the medical field for a little bit, for 25 years. And that's okay if it's in the right frame with God, but this is not. This is out of balance, right?
Right.
I don't know what to do.
I know, but this internal conflict is what I'm trying to speak toward. Which is your desire to do the right thing or to take care of or what's my responsibility. If I ever had an accident of any kind, Mandy, I'd want to have you around, you know, because you're responsible and you would just do all the right stuff. Yeah. But in this, and this really speaks to a much larger issue because we have people all the time that say, well, you know, they're a Christian, so it's okay to marry them. You know, they're Christians, so that means they're going to be okay. And that's not the case. Because a person is a Christian doesn't mean they are have grown or that they are mature or they have an understanding of who and what they are. It just means they're saved if they truly are a believer. I would suggest
that... He was only 17 when he got married.
Yeah. And Mandy, I would suggest that what you want to do is work on asking the question and work with a professional that can help you work on this issue. Why do I feel that I have to be responsible to caretake an addict?
Yeah. Well, I lived with him 35 years.
I know.
Yeah, and that's
half a lifetime. Which tells us what you've tolerated in your caretaking, rescuing mode. You tolerated the intolerable.
He worked, and he provided for the family.
Okay.
That's his thing, as long as I provide for the family.
I get it, Mandy, but it's still tormenting you, and there's no way I would go back to that man or a woman. I would never go back to somebody like this personally.
Well, and that's wonderful that he was a provider, and not being with him, you may miss that. But that's not enough,
and that's not
a ticket for bad behavior.
Nope.
Like, you don't have to tolerate it because he's paying the bills.
No.
Right?
But I did because of my dysfunction that I've grown out of.
Right. So, so here's the thing. So, like Mylan is saying, I hear this pull between what you want and where you know emotionally you're at and feeling like you have to do the right thing. So I think it's okay to say where I'm at right now is I'm done. This doesn't work for me anymore. Just cutting back doesn't work for me. Because we have kids and grandkids together, we're always going to be in relationship. So if you were really sincere about wanting your family to trust you, at the very minimum, you need to go get help and deal with this addiction. And it can't be a part of your world. But there's no guarantee.
I don't need to bring that up to him. He's got to figure it out on his own then, is that it?
Well, I think you can say what would be the bare minimum requirement to even kind of be in any relationship. And that doesn't mean a marriage relationship.
So is he even asking to come back to you, Mandy?
Oh, he doesn't anymore, but he says I'm still his wife, and he talks to me like we're married. I mean, nothing sexual, but familiar, you know, and comfortable.
Well, there is that familiarity because you have been together for over 30 years. I get it. But you see, maybe you're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. Maybe you're trying to answer a question that hasn't been raised by your husband. Mm. You're the one that's drawing back and saying, should I keep going back? That's your question. Should I keep going back to a person that's not trustworthy? Because it's known and it's familiar. That's what Mandy needs to work on.
Mandy, I'm so glad you called. And we'll pray for you and pray for this.
I love that Mandy called. Yeah. Okay, she's amazing that she would call and be so vulnerable
with
us.
What a heart.
Mm-hmm. And has a great heart.
How about take your life back?
Take your life back.
Good idea.
Coming your way, Mandy.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you, folks, for listening. We'll come back for another call right after this. I want to remind you, if you weren't here at the top of the hour, we have a new gift for Club New Life joins. It's a kit. It's called Time with God. There's 6 items in it. And rather than go through those items, call 800-NEW-LIFE and ask about it. $10 or more a month for existing members, and we'll send that to you as well. So hold the line. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. And we're going to go right to our final call for the day. We're going to speak with Joyce. Joyce is in Coleman, Alabama, and she listens, watches us on Facebook. How can we help you, Joyce?
My son tried to make a long story short because I am surrounded by addiction and alcohol in my family.
Hmm.
But my youngest son called and said, guess what, Mom, I'm getting a divorce. This is his second one. And he has three darling daughters. Of course, I am crushed by this. I saw it coming, and I couldn't seem to stay enough, you know, stay away from the alcohol. Mm-hmm. And then he confides in me that in my home, in our home, after his dad had died at 7, that somebody took advantage of him at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But he will not tell me who. He said it was a family member and that it would crush his grandmother if she knew. So my sister knows, but she will not tell me. I thought that they were in a very safe place because I live next door to my parents, who are good people. But they did have some teenagers in and out that were trouble. So, you know, this is all just, this week my emotions have been wild. I just, if not for my Christian faith, I have sunk very low. I don't know where to go. he is in rehab. He agreed to go. His wife was threatening divorce, and he is drying out, as best I understand the language. They are supposed to find a place that he can go.
Well, that's the good news, is that he's getting help first to deal with the symptoms of the problem, right, that have become a problem in and of themselves. So that's a really good place to start. My hope would be in the course of recovery that someone will tap into the fact that he has had this childhood abuse, because this is wreaking havoc on his life. This is, you know, probably the source of his self-medicating to just numb the pain. And I think while every abuse victim has so much shame, tons of shame, I think that men have a type of shame because it seems so unmanly to have this happen to you. And usually a little less common, although not so much anymore, but less common than with women. And so I think it's less important, Joyce, that he tell you who it is, but more about you encouraging him. You know, son, you have a right to privacy. But your hope is that he will get the help, that he will tell a safe person who can help him work through that trauma.
Well, what would you add?
Well, Joyce, the very fact that he told you about the abuse is important, because what he's doing is he's living, the reality of his life is he's living the trauma. He doesn't know it, but what is propelling him to the alcohol? What is making him unstable that's causing a wife to want to leave him? And underneath, there is a stormy sea deep in his soul. And that stormy sea is there because he was abused and violated. Mm-hmm. And people don't get over that, Joyce. They just internally try to hold it in, but it leaks out all the time. And so what do? They drink to make that pain go away, or they do drugs, or they do other addictive behaviors to make all that pain go away. And you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to live life, or you're going to live your trauma. And he is living his trauma. And as Jill said, and this is so important, he really needs, and hopefully it's more than just drying out, Joyce. You see, it's far more than that goal of drying out and then getting into a next step rehab program. There has to be somebody that can help him. And there are trauma experts and people who have been trained in sexual trauma, and they know how to help people. And Jill, you're absolutely right when you say the shame that takes over in a young child's mind.
Yeah.
And it makes me so angry, Joyce, because I know so many people who have been abused as children. And in many cases, their adulthood is really broken.
Right. And this was somebody who he knew. So it was a trusted person.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a betrayal. Then how do you trust people?
And oftentimes that's true, Jill, that a lot of betrayals happen with people we know.
Right. That you let in because you think they're safe. Yep.
Well, this was a family member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Boy. And as I think about my family, I really can't think of anybody that I would think it would be. But I know that there was some troubled people with alcohol involved at my parents' home next door. So, and he indicated that it probably was, he really just would not say.
So what did she do when she learns who it was?
So Joyce, this is something that's really also bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
Well,
and I don't blame.
Daddy died at 7, and I knew they were troubled, but I thought they were dealing with that.
Okay, Joyce. Joyce, you're repeating yourself a lot about these troubled teenagers. The issue. And that's okay, but I can tell it really, really bothers you and you're really stuck on that. Joyce, or I'm sorry, Jill.
Well, and Joyce, sometimes we obsess on details because if we can figure it out, maybe we could have changed it.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, this has already happened and you being preoccupied with who it is isn't really helping your son right now. First step is him getting help and getting into recovery. Through that process, he may perhaps confront the person who has done it.
Right.
Right? And the only concern would be is if this person has done it to others. But I think that's something that gets addressed when somebody is getting help.
What do you think we should send Joyce? We could send her son the Life Recovery Bible, but we could also send her something.
Well, understanding and loving a person with substance abuse.
Okay. That sounds good. On its way to you, Joyce. Thank you. Thank you for calling us. You know, in Colossians, it reads in Colossians 1, Paul writes, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. And it goes on to talk about that every way, if you want to look it up, Colossians 1. But that's a prayer for you, folks. We love what we do. We pray that you come to understand God more through the advice and the counsel and the wisdom that our hosts like Jill and Mylon do daily on this program. And we just think that this is a ministry that's worth supporting. If you have not given to New Life in the past, pray that you would do that. We love it here. We are grateful. And it's Steve's birthday again. Happy birthday. Make a gift in his honor. And the bigger you make it, the more honoring it will be. in your sacrifice, yes. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Mylon. It's been a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.